reporting on the games you love by people who love to game. The MMO Reporter Network.
You're listening to the Happy Hearthstone Podcast, where the cards are fun and the people are just a little bit crazy. This show is brought to you by Guild Launch. Slay more dragons with Guild Launch. Use the coupon code MMOReporter and get your first month free. Buy Doghouse Systems. Choose your weapon with Doghouse Systems. If you're looking for a new PC, you can go to doghousesystems.com and use the coupon code MMOReporter to double your RAM. And by GoDaddy, who will get you a new domain or transfer for only $2.95. Just click on the GoDaddy logo on MMOReporter.com or use the coupon code MMO295. Hello, and welcome to episode 3 of the Happy Hearthstone Podcast. I am your host, Josh Augustine, and this week, I am joined by the face behind that lovely voice at the top of the podcast, the creator, dictator, and technology czar of the MMO Reporter Podcast, Chris Perry.
Kneel before me.
Oh, no!
Just call me Czar Zod.
Czar Zod. I'll try. It's kind of a tongue twister, though. Will I be annihilated for getting the name wrong if I say
yes.
Zod Czar or something on
it? Oh, that's it. You're gone.
No!
Into the negative zone for you.
I'm sorry. Well, we had a good run. We almost made it 3 episodes.
almost.
So close.
Oh, that's okay. I've had podcasts go 1.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it because the subject matter ended or the people died or what happened?
It's still a little too close, but let's just say that some people are not interested in the level of quality that I'm interested in.
Fair enough.
Wonderful people.
Who?
Fantastic people who just don't have the same desire for quality.
I got to say, Chris, you know how to make a guy nervous, because now I'm worried. this episode better be good, because if Chris doesn't like it, I'm canned.
Every episode has to be good.
So if you're actually listening to this podcast right now, that means the rest of it is gold because Chris let it through and let me post it on the site. So this is a good omen, my friends. Now, Chris, I know as technology czar, you must have many reasons to be happy. But here on the Happy Hearthstone, we like to start off each episode with what we're happy about. Chris, why are you happy?
I'm happy that Blizzard is announcing and releasing a game in the same year.
That is something to be happy and mildly surprised about.
Mildly surprised? Seriously?
Yes. Well,
have you not followed Blizzard long enough? Mildly is the best adjective you can come up with. How about, mind-numbingly?
No, I'm not doing anything above mildly until I see it happen. Then I'll be extremely surprised.
Okay, touche, you win.
I'm mildly surprised that they said they will do it. How about that?
There you go.
All right. And my reason to be happy is I'm happy so many people got to play this game at PAX and film it and talk about it. Because usually early hands-on stuff is behind NDAs and stuff, and you can only see big articles, maybe like a magazine post. But this one, you got everybody talking about it, and everyone's saying, oh, well, no, I use that card, and it does this, and all that sort of stuff. I am excited about all the plethora of information I was able to find researching this show.
Oh, I'm going to be such a bad guest.
No, you're going to be so good, Chris. You're just going with confidence, buddy. Come on.
Okay, I think I can. I think I can.
All right, so this week we're talking with someone that everyone else besides Chris is jealous of, someone who has actually played the game.
That's right.
Chris played it at PAX. He did what all of us wish we could do but haven't.
Yep, and it was a good. It was a good. It was good.
It was good.
I'll quote Martha Stewart there.
Martha Stewart is one of the great quotists of our times.
She is. I wonder how good she would be at Hearthstone.
Yeah. Oh, that would be interesting. Celebrity Hearthstone matches.
That would be awesome. I want to see that. That needs to happen. And celebrities you wouldn't expect, not like Nathan Fillion and like really cool celebrities or, no geeky celebrity, not J.J. Abrams or anything like that. Get like Martha Stewart and Betty White.
I bet Betty White would be totally awesome at it. She's crazy enough.
She's good at everything she does.
I know,
seriously.
It's true. Yeah. All right.
So we're going to go over kind of what Chris thought hands-on and kind of go over some other hands-on accounts that kind of I found online and what people thought about while playing it. So the goal this time is just to get a feel for what it's actually like to play the game, because that's what so many of us are thinking about.
Awesome.
So, Chris, the first time you were there when the news broke at the Hearthstone panel, what was it like?
I was live tweeting and live touting it. I was sending out video right from the panel. Now, I do have a little bit of a story to get into this because, you know, and I have to preface this by saying I didn't do anything sneaky. And that tells you it's going to be a good story.
Yeah.
I have to preface it with that. I didn't do. And you've been to PAX, so you know what it's like. And the media pass gets you access.
Hold on. Okay. I need to clarify something. You said you didn't do anything sneaky. Did you do anything illegal?
No.
Okay.
Nothing,
okay.
And I did not purposely, willingly, or through negligence break the rules.
Okay, you're covered. Your lawyer prepared that statement, didn't they?
What, you can hear him in the background?
Yeah.
Quiet. Okay, so you know, you've been to PAX. You've had the media badge. You know that gets you no special access except for the media hour.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it does.
Yep.
So Boston is a little bit different than Seattle in that it's really only one entrance into the building. Everything else is locked up tight. So you can only get in and out of the building through the front doors. And, well, there is an area to the Westin, but that's just one, and it's a hotel. It's locked up.
And this is where Chris brings in his helicopter.
No. And I see the line, and the first person I learned later had been in line since 3:30 in the morning, so that they could go to the Blizzard panel. He ended up getting a headset, by the way, from the people at PAX, because they're awesome.
Yeah.
First person in line got a headset. Woo. So I look at the line, and I'm looking to ask someone where the media line is going to go, because the media line can get into the floor first. And I figured I'd go and check that out and then go back in line and wait for the regular lineup for the panel. So I go inside the building, and I'm looking for someone to ask a question. Then there's no one around. So I just keep walking into the building. And I went into the building, the area where everyone was just walking in. There was nobody there checking badges or anything at the door. So I walked in, and nobody was there. So I kept on walking. And I'm in the building now, and there's no one else around but enforcers. Enforcers are the volunteers who take care of everything. And I'm just walking through, and nobody's stopping me. I'm just walking. Looking, and I knew where the theater was that they were going to have this panel. It wasn't the biggest, surprisingly. It was one of the smaller ones, and so I went over there, and there was a bench across the way, and I sat down and I just waited. And I looked down at that point, and I noticed my badge was flipped the wrong way around, so you couldn't see what type of badge it was. It could have been any badge, VIP, enforcer. You could just see the back. So maybe that's why nobody stopped me and asked me questions. So I sat there, and I heard sounds coming from inside the room where our panel was going to be held. And I'm like, oh, you know what? I could totally listen in right now and find out what this is about. But I didn't.
Wow.
Was so well behaved. I went, and I sent out a tout that I was inside waiting and figuring it out. And then finally, at about 8:02, which is when they open the main doors and people come in, I asked an enforcer what was going on. And he said that Square Enix was practicing for their panel, and that the lineup for the panel was going to be in this other room. They have rooms for just lineups. That's how well organized. They have a banquet room for the panel and a banquet room for the lineup for the panel. So I was the first person in line for the Blizzard panel. Kind of serendipitously, not really on purpose. And the person who was there at 3:30 in the morning was behind me.
Wow. Did you feel bad about that?
Kind of, but not. He ended up going in front of me. I let him go first.
Okay.
He was with a big group of people. And so I let
That's
them go
nice
in front
of you.
Well, you know what? It's the start of the line. And the first 10 people are going to get the front areas, right? Worst thing is I noticed afterwards they were letting pre-approved press in first for the first few rows. So no matter what, I was going to get like 3 rows back.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I went inside, I sat down, and I was sitting behind, and she never told me her husband's name. She just said, one of the designers, because I asked her, she knew somebody, like, why was she here? and just chatting with people, which is one of the things you do at PAX. You just chat with everyone. Everyone is super friendly. So I asked her, you know, oh, you're related to someone? Who are you related to? Oh, one of the designers. She didn't say who. So I have a feeling it was the guy, and I can't remember his name now, who did the panel because she was very attentive to him. And I think I saw her go over to him afterwards. Anyways, so I got to chat with her a little bit about it and how excited they were about this reveal, and it was something different. And she didn't hint anything like that, but then I got to see the panel. And I have to say, when they said, and they were pretty quick about saying what Hearthstone was, I was absolutely shocked. Shocked that it was a collectible card game. What was your first reaction when you heard?
I was really excited because I'm super into card games, like, and it's fairly recent for me, like getting this much into it. And I mean, I knew that it was going to be a new IP, or like not a new IP. I knew it was going to be a new game, and I knew it was going to be small because Blizzard had pretty much said all those things. So it didn't really surprise me in a way. Like, it's just like, oh, that's really smart. More of like, that's a really smart move. That's going to do really well.
Yeah, I was surprised because one of the quotes I had read, and maybe they were misquoted on this one, but they said it was going to be a new IP. This is a new game, but not a new IP, right? Intellectual property, this a new world, a new universe.
Yeah.
When you have an IP, for example, Warcraft and World of Warcraft are the same IP. They're the Warcraft universe, right?
Yeah.
And StarCraft and Heart of the Swarm and all that stuff, that's all the same IP, the intellectual property, the same idea. So I think they were probably misquoted somewhere.
Yeah, I think they may have been, yeah, because I kind of remember them saying that it would not be a new IP. So it may have been maybe someone on like forums or Reddit or something passing along bad information.
It's like a game. The internet is like a big game of telephone.
It really is. And especially when it comes to stuff people want to hear, and they're like, I want it to be a new IP. They said it's a new IP. Great.
Yeah, exactly. So the panel itself was really cool. I was impressed with the way in which they presented it. Very clear. I'm typical Blizzard, extremely tight on message. Obviously very well rehearsed.
Yeah.
Went off without a hitch. There was a little bit of blinking, which you can see in the video that I shot. But overall, a very well put together panel. People in the audience were excited more during the panel than the conversations I heard around PAX afterwards. The conversations I heard around PAX afterwards were less enthusiastic than the ones I heard before from the people before we knew what it was going to be.
Oh, really?
Yes. I think that this is a niche genre, the collectible card game.
Yeah.
This is not necessarily a mainstream product.
So you think a lot of people were kind of expecting a larger game like an RTS or an RPG or something?
They wanted Titan or something of that scale.
Yeah.
And instead they got, Lost Vikings.
Dude, Lost Vikings was incredible.
No, but it's smaller scale.
Yeah, it is. Right? Yeah. No, I get
you. And that's what I mean. This is something that's not not epic in...
They say it's not epic in scope, it's epic in quality.
Right, and that's exactly what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
Right? This is not something that is a great sweeping story. This is not something that, Bioshock Infinite, where people scream on Reddit, don't you dare give me a spoiler.
Yeah.
Right? This is something that people are going to pick up, and they're really going to enjoy it, and they're going to play it on their iPad on their way to work or whatever, and they're really, really going to enjoy it because I think it's a lot of fun, but I don't think it's something that's going to be... I think this is going to be a consistently strong burn rather than a wildfire at launch and then die off.
Okay. All right, I can see that.
Yeah.
So was this kind of, I don't want to say lack of enthusiasm, but like timid approach to it, was this just among the press or was this among just kind of everyday people?
Fans. Press were more impressed, I think, other than a couple of people. I think press were like, oh, yeah, this is going to be cool. This could be good.
Okay, interesting. So people weren't like even, did they still look interested at the panel?
Oh, yeah, the panel. The panel was lots of energy, lots of gung-ho, But then, you know, the one thing that's so different about PAX than the real world, and PAX is not the real world, is you can turn around to the person sitting next to you anywhere in PAX and have a deep discussion about some game, any game, some topic, and that's cool. And yep. You're sitting on the bus. You can't turn to the person sitting next to you and say, hey, so what do you think about Hearthstone?
Yeah.
Right? Or, hey, you know, this, you can't have a big, long conversation. You'd be lucky if you say hi to the person sitting next to you on the bus. Right? And yeah. So PAX, there's a lot of these conversations that happen. And that's, I'd say, two-thirds of the conversations were disappointment that it wasn't something bigger. And I think that overshadowed their actual thoughts on the game.
Yeah.
For right. A lot of people.
Yeah, so maybe that's their sign they kind of have to, once they accept it for what it is, they'll be able to kind of embrace it at
exactly,
that level.
Exactly, because I do think this is a great game.
Okay, so what about, like, at the demo station? Because they had a demo station. How long was the line to get to play it?
I may have gotten ahead of the line because of the press pass.
Oh.
It does not happen very often. But they had a press station, and it was open, and they saw my press pass, so I went on to the press station.
Oh, so you turned your badge around by this point. You weren't trying to sneak your way everywhere.
Hey, I'm not as bad as Harry Hall, who was wandering the PAX show floor, my co-host from MMO Reporter. At the same time, I was in early for the Blizzard panel. He was on the show floor with no one else there before wow. The press hour.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Man, you guys have some crazy voodoo magic over there. You're going to have to teach me that before my next convention.
You know what? Maybe it's being one of the big networks now.
Yeah, that must be what it is. You get one article written calling you a big network, and suddenly you're the technology czar demanding homage. I'll prepare my tribute of grapes and slaves very soon.
Caviar.
Caviar, okay. Only the finest.
That's right.
All right, so how long did you get to hear other people's kind of impressions of the game? Kind of, did you overhear anyone talking about it as they were playing it?
Everyone that I heard after the fact, after they actually got to play, I said, oh, that was fun.
Okay.
You know, that was good. I wish I'd had more time on it.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I'd gotten to play it more. And that seemed to be a consistent thought.
Were people already bitching about OP cards or anything?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
That makes me a little bummer. I wanted there to be one guy who's like, oh my gosh, Fear is so overpowered and like yelling at the devs already. Bummer. Come on, Pax, let me down.
I could so see that happening once the game launches, like the day the game launches.
Yeah.
Some epic Reddit thread about how one card is overpowered.
Well, I've already seen like three Reddit threads where like, look at this card, it's overpowered, it's so good, and then someone comes back, well, look, it's countered by this card, but its counter is overpowered, and it's madness.
Yeah.
All right, so that's kind of feel for on the show floor. How long do you think it took to play a game and complete a session?
Mine was really quick. It was like I only got to play one match, so mine was maybe just over 5 minutes.
5 minutes from start to finish? Whoa.
Chris, yeah.
Blowing in my mind.
I lost.
Okay. Did you lose pretty poorly?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Yeah. All right. So that's a one-sided match, so it can be as short as 5 minutes. So
I think I did maybe like between 5 and 10, I'd say. Like, really not. Yeah. It definitely wasn't over 10, but I did not do well.
Oh. I'm sure you gave it your best. So, do you know if you're playing against a person or against the AI?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Actually, I didn't ask that. That would have been a good question. I don't know if they had it networked there against other people or whether you were just playing in training mode.
Okay. If you got beat by easy AI, Chris, I mean, I don't want to say it, but I think you know what I would say. So
yeah, I'm already saying it.
So what class were you playing?
Warlock.
Warlock. That's my favorite. That's the one deck that I actually built in the physical TCG was my Warlock deck that I played.
Oh, cool.
So
yeah, it was fun. I recognize from my limited time on a Warlock some of the effects, right? Some of the spell effects and stuff like that you'd see in game. I definitely recognize some of that.
All right, I've got three in particular to ask you because they were my favorite cards in the TCG.
Oh, God, you're asking me to remember stuff.
Just maybe, and if you don't remember it, it's okay. But my three favorite Warlock spells in the TCG were Siphon Life, where, you know, it's a dot that heals you as well.
Right.
Also Fear, which just returns a creature to their hand.
Oh, I think I did that.
Okay.
I think.
Dude, Bounce is one of my favorite card game mechanics.
I told you I'm a horrible guest. Like,
I know.
You're going to get hate mail. Don't send Josh hate mail. Just send it to me at chris@mmoreporter.com. You know, and tell me never, ever to guest on this show again.
You're not going
to
get hate mail. You're going to get people asking you questions like, hey, was my favorite ability in the game? Was this there? Was this here?
Yeah. And I'm just going to be sitting here crying as I type on my keyboard, I don't know.
So, Chris, how cool were the spell effects? Because that's the one thing that I found kind of hard to see in the videos because it's really fuzzy. Did it look really crisp?
Yeah, it did. And I played on the iPad version. That they had there, and it
was that resolution is still really good.
Yeah, it was really like recognizable. It felt like really cool effects from the game. I mean, obviously a different representation of the same effect.
Yeah,
because it's a different, you know, it's more 2D. Excuse me.
Getting drunk over there with your drunk hiccups.
Exactly. Just my guilt at not remembering more.
At that point,
that was before you had asked me to make sure to play it, so I didn't take any notes or anything. This was my one guilty pleasure where I just went and didn't try to make notes on it or anything like that. I was just enjoying it. And now here you take my one pleasure from PAX and turn it on to myself.
Well, this will teach you to try and have fun at conventions, Chris. It's all about work, man.
I know better.
I know. And you shouldn't smile while you're there either. No fun at all.
Oh, no fun.
All right, so overall, I got two questions for you.
Yeah.
Just kind of to wrap up your impressions here, did you have fun?
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
I died like a miserable death. And I still had a blast doing it.
Yeah, that's kind of the highest praise you can give a game. Because I don't know about if you're like me, but I really like to win games. And if I can still have fun while losing, even better.
Yeah, you know, it reminded me of, like, you know when you still have fun in PvP when you're dying?
Yeah.
But you're still having fun because you're trying new things and trying to figure out how to survive the longest you can. That sort of thing. It definitely, like, I'm playing and I don't know what happened, but it's like, okay, what? Just don't die.
I'm going to pretend I understand, Chris, but I've never actually lost in PvP. But I could kind of understand
how
you
would. Hold on. I remember one time at PAX 2011, a Star Wars booth. There was
PvP that
happened between one Josh Augustine and one Chris Perry.
Are these like our doppelgangers? Because this doesn't sound.
I do seem to recall this fight in Star Wars on the Old Republic.
That's true. And anyone that listened to our Tour Reporter podcast is going to get a kick out of that because Chris and I used to co-host that together, and we would always joke about that because the very first time we played SOTOR together, we did PvP and Chris beat me and.
The one and only time.
And he found a way to bring it up every single episode of the show.
I was talented at that.
Yeah, it really
and
was
now
a
I've
skill.
Brought it up here, too.
I know, well done. I kind of helped you out, but, you know, for old time's sake.
Yeah.
All right, and then do you think people are too hyped for this game right now, not hyped enough, or just the right amount of hype?
Not hyped enough. I think that the people who are being negative are being negative, again, like we talked about the fact that it wasn't some big new epic IP.
Yeah.
And they wanted something bigger. And instead, it's this fun project that a few developers did on, not on the side, but kind of, you know, if you look at Blizzard as a company, as a person, this is what Blizzard did when it got home at night. Right? This is the side project that it did on its lunch hour.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I like that.
Yeah, and so, you know, for that, not even just for that, the game is good. What I played of it, and it was short and brutal and painful, and I cried myself to sleep at night about it. But it was fun.
Do you remember what hero you were playing against, or what class?
Ooh, Rogue.
Rogue? Okay, there you have it. Oh, so it's just like old school WoW. Rogue, Rogue beats Warlock, that's just a fact. See, now I understand why you lost. Probably got stunlocked from 100 to 0.
No, I just suck.
That's all right. All right, so we're going to jump to some other impressions from other people that played the game hands-on. These are kind of articles that I found from people that got to play the game and what they thought, so that Chris and I can talk about it, and maybe Chris can offer some more insight into it.
I'd be happy to.
So one of the cooler things that I saw, because I was really looking for, you know, little tidbits that they didn't announce at the panel because it's not a big deal, but it's still super interesting. Right. One of the more interesting things I found, this is from Simon Sage, who wrote for iMore.com. He said that you can actually see which cards your opponents are fiddling with. So, like, they'll move when they're, like, looking at it and then zooming in, so you can see which card they're looking at. Did you notice this at all?
Yes.
You did?
Yeah. And it's, I didn't put much thought to it, because basically it was, like, looking to see which thing is going to kill me, rather than what I can, I just... Maybe if I'd actually thought, oh, I wonder how I can counter that. Maybe I would live longer, but...
Yeah, no, that's interesting. So I was curious how, like, obvious it would be. Is it, like, does it just jump around a little bit, or what's happening?
I think it just raises up. Like, you can just...
Okay.
Yeah, I think it just kind of comes up, and you can't see... much about the card, but you can just see that that's the one that they're selected. I can't remember if it's a border or a raise.
Okay.
Like, it's a highlight border. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah,
like a shadow border or a raise. I can't remember which one of those it is, but it's something like that.
See, I love that, because that's something that's really missing from, like, the online game, you know, is, you know, looking at your opponent's face and seeing them stare at a card for a long time and, like, okay, if they're that interested in that card, what card could it be? You know, that sort of stuff.
Right.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So all right, so I'm glad to see that's in there. I like the border idea, because the way it was worded, he used the word fiddling. It sounded like maybe like the card shook or something, and that seemed like it'd be kind of weird. I like the border idea, though, so you can just kind of basically follow their gaze.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Awesome. Rad. And this is one thing that, like... I didn't hear anything about during the panel, and I didn't really hear many people talk about it. This is from the Massively article. Matt Daniel wrote it. I'm just going to kind of read what he wrote here. One last thing I want to mention is kind of silly, but it made me smile. Since my character was a Horde character, the gameplay's area was Horde-themed, but with an Orcish hut in the corner, a catapult, and another so forth. To my surprise, these turned out to be interactable objects, and I could actually drag a rock into the catapult and then fling it at my opponent. Or I could poke the Orcish hut and cause it to belch fire from its chimney stack. That's just awesome. Did you play around with that at all?
I didn't even think about that. I wish I had. I knew that it was like a 3D environment, because you notice like for Alliance stuff, the little Griffin tower, the head would be moving on the Griffin and stuff like that. So I knew that it was more than just. More than just window dressing, but I didn't think about it to play with it. I just didn't even cross my mind. What a great idea.
Yeah, I didn't think about that at all, but it makes perfect sense. And when you go back and look at the screenshots, you can see the catapult that he mentions and the orc hut. You can see it all kind of in the corner there.
Yeah.
But just to see, and then like, man, the idea that you can actually pick up a rock, drag it onto the catapult, and then, you know, jump over, and then it actually fires at him. That's so cool. See, that's the sort of stuff that kind of convinces me that this game is going to be good. It's because it's the small touches like that that end up making a game feel more kind of alive.
Yeah, oh, no, absolutely. And that's one of the things that Blizzard is really good at. They're really good at getting the details.
Yeah, that is very true. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And then Caitlin Cook from Destructoid said this. After selecting a hero, players start out with 5 cards in their hand and are able to switch out one card of their choosing for a random card in the deck. I found this to be a really neat concept that puts the power into the player's hands, blah, blah, blah. So I hadn't heard about this. And actually, I'm asking you, Chris, and I'm hoping you remember, because actually a lot of articles said this differently. Some people said they started with 4 cards and then drew a card at the start of their turn. Others said they started with 5 and could mulligan 1. Another person said they started with 4 cards and can mulligan all of their cards. Were you able to see kind of how the mulligan works?
I got rid of 1, but okay. I don't know if I could have gotten rid of more.
Okay,
I had 5 and got rid of 1.
Okay, so you did start out with 5 cards, though.
Yes.
Okay, so you start with 5. You can get rid of at least one.
Yeah.
And then
I also read somewhere, too, that you could mulligan up to 4 or something like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, I read that, too, but then this one says you could only mulligan one, and someone else said you could only mulligan one as well, so that's a little confused. So maybe it sounds
maybe like me, they instead of trying out, maybe they just only did one.
That's true, yeah. Okay, so it sounds like probably you can mulligan as many as you want.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. All right. And the last hands-on impression here, Chris, I want your opinion on. This is Sardu from 10 Ton Hammer, which I know you actually think is a really cool guy. I've never met him.
He is. Ruben. He's awesome. He's the editor-in-chief now at 10 Ton Hammer.
Awesome. And as editor-in-chief, this is what he had to say. He says, for example, knowing I was up against a mage, I expected that my buddy, I'm going to say his Fel is his friend that's playing the mage. I expected that Fel would no doubt have some minor minions to harass me early on while he built up enough mana each round to unleash a ton of direct damage. Meanwhile, my warlock, see Chris, this guy's playing a warlock, let's see if he plays it better than you. I'm not going to say anything, but...
hard.
Right. Meanwhile, my warlock was less about massive damage, but was able to play a game of attrition thanks to minions and abilities that would heal my character. By mid-game, I took a gamble and began holding my most damaging cards, those that did X damage to everything on the board. The idea here was that I'd give Fel a false sense of security, and for the record, as someone who's been playing card games, never go for the tactic of giving them a false sense of security. Just keep punching them in the face. All right, sorry. Editorial over. By allowing him to take my health dangerously low before pulling out the big guns in 2 devastating rounds. Because this sounds awesome if you're writing a movie script. But when you're trying to win a game, it rarely works out. And here he says, that strategy almost worked. Not a good sign. But the match that had progressed long enough, the Fel was able to smack me in the face with 2 fireballs, each one doing 6 points of direct damage to my avatar. And then, even though Fel walked away victorious, he also had that crap, that was a close match look on his face as we stepped back from our demo stations.
So that, there you go, they were linked locally then.
Yeah, so
I feel better. It was a player that totally and utterly humiliated me.
If you were at PAX and you beat someone that looked like a total noob on a warlock, please write in. I want to know who beat Chris.
Yeah.
This would be awesome.
In a very quick match.
Yeah, I'll post a picture of Chris on the podcast too, so you guys in the show notes, so you can try and see if you remember playing against him. But the thing I like about this story is the different play styles. And this is something that's kind of reassuring to me, because we still don't know exactly kind of what card's going to be warlock only, what card's going to be mage only, that sort of stuff. And I like this idea that he says, you know, hey, my warlock had a lot of dots, a lot of heals, and had powerful minions, and the mage is kind of just throwing fireballs in his face over and over. I kind of like that different feel. That's encouraging to me.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
How important is that to you, Chris? Do you want the decks to be extremely different?
Yes. I think you should pick your deck to start out with like you pick your class. Just like in my experience with deck games, with card games, is Magic. You build a deck to your play style.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to build a big defensive deck if you're someone who always likes to attack.
Yeah.
Right? If you like to turtle on your, you know, during the game, basically, that's when you're going to build a defensive deck. If you're going to build something that where you want to come right out of the gate with big damage and always try and win as quickly as you can, you're going to go for a high damage, but that has the risk. If somebody has a very defensive deck, you're not going to do very well, right? So I hope that there's that deck-building strategy. I also love, 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 love the idea of the game mode where everybody builds their deck in the first 5 minutes and then plays.
Yeah, that's my favorite. That's the drafting modes are usually my favorite, and that's cool. That's the forge mode is what they call it in
right.
Hearthstone.
That's
so, Chris,
true.
When you were playing your warlock, did you feel like, hey, this feels like a warlock in the game?
Yeah, I died lots.
Wow. all the warlock players listening just shaking their heads at you right now, buddy.
Yeah, but you know what? I was the same in WoW as I was in Hearthstone on my warlock. My warlock, good thing he communed with the dead because he was often one of them. Well, it was demons with warlocks, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, they can have dead too. Why not? They're dead demons.
All right.
All right, so I think that about does it for the hands-on portion of this, Chris. Thank you for sharing your thoughts, but now comes to your most important job on this podcast.
I'm excited. Are you ready?
I am ready. Please, whenever you're ready, go ahead. Sing us in, Billy.
Card of the week.
Fantastic. I like that. You didn't mess around with, like, noises or jingles ahead of time. You just get straight into the words. I like that.
That's right.
All right, so the card of the week this week is the Shield Bearer. This is a Draenei Space Goat Warrior Tank. That's not his official subtitle, but that's what I'm dubbing him. And he has a 1 mana cost, 0 attack. How are you feeling so far about this card, Chris?
That's my type of card.
0 attack. Perfect. 4 health. And it's like, okay, not great, because he can't do any damage. Okay, can eat some damage. But here's where it gets interesting. He has Taunt, which means that creatures must attack him before they can attack anything else on your board, including your hero. And he has Enrage, +1 attack. And Enrage is still one of those mechanics that people are debating how it works. So if anyone has played with Enrage at PAX, please let us know. But the best guess that we have now is that it happens whenever the creature takes damage. So essentially, you have to attack this tank, and it gives him attack damage. So suddenly he becomes a 1-4. Then if you attack him again, and he's still alive, he becomes a 2-4. And I like this a lot, because it's 1 mana cost. You're paying almost nothing to get this out there. What do you think, Chris?
Wonderful. It actually helped me live.
Yes. And that's what I like about it. I love that it's 1 mana cost. It's cheap enough that you can throw it out alongside another super powerful creature. So if you have a 7 mana creature that you want to get out there and you're just nervous that it's going to die, you throw it out with like 2 of these. And the mana cost isn't that much higher. And suddenly they have to deal 8 damage before they can even get close to your powerful creature.
Right, or you can start to throw these out there and you can start to turtle if you want to, right? And really get really lots of defensive stuff out there.
Yeah, and it sounds perfect for teaming up with the mage that we just talked about, where he was dealing 12 damage directly via spells. If you just toss these guys out as, like, barriers and then throw out some spells, then it could be interesting. So I like this card because it's interesting. It seems like it's going to have some cool tricks that you'll be able to pull off with it. And that's really all I ask from a card, that it entertain me.
No, I agree. It sounds like an awesome card.
All right. So if you think this is a cool card, you can check out more info on it on the blog. We'll have show notes along with links to all the videos, trailers, information we have about Hearthstone so far. Just go to www.gamediplomat.com and click on Hearthstone at the top. But most importantly, we'd love to know what you thought of the show and what you'd like to see added for future episodes. You can contact me directly on Twitter. I am at Jay Augustine.
And you can contact me at Almazar.
Good man. Thanks. Or if you prefer the electronic mail methods, you can email me at ajosh@outlook.com or just leave a comment on the blog, gamediplomat.com or mmoreporter.com. There you go, Chris. That one's just for you, buddy.
Thanks. And there's voicemail, too, on the mmoreporter.com. You can leave, and we'll forward all that voicemail to Josh, too.
Oh, really? How does that work?
Yeah. There's just a little widget on the side of the page that says, leave a voicemail now.
Oh, man. Please do that. Yeah. That'd be awesome. I'll play it on the show, as long as you're not, like, offensive. So keep it PG, huh?
And it's got to be 90 seconds or less.
90 seconds or less. That's good. You can also join our Google Plus community, where we're talking about Hearthstone all day, every day. We've got, like, I think we're up to, like, 15 people in there now, which is pretty awesome.
Awesome.
And people are actually talking. I'm not the only one posting stuff, which feels great. Just go to Google Plus, search for Happy Hearthstone. I also want to give a quick thank you to Ghost1198, who left the very first iTunes review for this show. I've never gotten iTunes reviews before, and this feels fantastic. He gave it 4 stars, which I think is the maximum. It may be out of 5. I'm still happy with 4 out of 5. I'm not sure. But he said, love the energy. Keep the new episodes coming. You can bet your bottom shield bearer that we will, Ghost1198. Thank you for the kind words.
Awesome. And can I just throw a quick plug in for our Hearthstone panel that was part of our PAX coverage?
Yes.
So just go to youtube.com/user/MMOReporterNetwork, and you'll find the Hearthstone panel on there. We've got a PAX East 2013 playlist, and the Hearthstone panel is on there, as well as all the other stuff we covered at PAX East.
Yeah, Chris, actually, what else are you working on right now?
What else am I working on, or the stuff in YouTube?
No, what do you want to share?
Oh, my goodness. We've got so many awesome new shows on the network. We've got ESO Reporter for Elder Scrolls Online, Defiance Reporter, which is doing really well. This really weird guy is doing this WoW Pet Battle Crew show, which is awesome. If you like comedy stuff, Too Long Didn't Listen, it's hilarious. There's tons of stuff. Just go to MMOReporter.com. On the right sidebar, you will find a total. Now, we actually have 9 podcasts on the network, which is awesome.
Yeah, so close to double digits. You got to throw one more out there just to get there.
I am not doing any more podcasts myself. I'm sorry. 5 is my limit.
I understand. 5. Whew. So is that one night, one every day of the week, essentially?
I do two nights. Two different nights. Tuesdays I double up, and Thursdays I usually double up, but I have the Jazz Festival this week, so I recorded on Wednesday. I doubled up there. I'm excited, though, because Defiance, the show is starting. The premiere is on Monday.
Oh, very cool.
Just like Tryon is trying a transmedia experience with Defiance, we're doing a podcast that covers both the show and the game.
Whoa.
So it's something different for us.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So you have, like, are both people playing both, or do you have, like, a TV guy and a games guy?
No, we have both of us, myself and Ben, my co-host. We both play the game, and then we're obviously both going to watch the show. So the show launches premieres on Monday.
That is very cool, Chris.
Very cool. And by the way, contest alert, Defiance Reporter is having a contest for a full copy of the game and some in-game currency. Some in-game, like, cash shop currency that we're doing in conjunction with the premiere. So go check out DefianceReporter.com.
Sweet. All right, well, thank you, Chris, for taking time out of your busy week to kind of join us on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. It's a blast. I can't wait to play more Hearthstone. I wish I could play some now, but I can't.
I know, me too. Soon, hopefully, my friend. Soon.
Yeah.
So, thanks again to everyone for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. We'll see you next time.